What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. That was me after coming out of the Beyonce movie. Okay. Hey. That was me exiting AMC Theatres, coming out of the Beyonce movie. You understand? That was me. When I tell y'all Renaissance, it wore me out. That movie wore me out. Now, hey, in case you missed it, and haven't been listening to Black News, watching TV, been on social media, maybe you just not a fan of Beyonce. And at this point, we talked about this. I don't know if I'm going to get into it again. But the Renaissance movie came out, was in theaters, AMC exclusively, as of this past week. 2 hours and 40-something minutes of impactfulness. Okay, 2 hours and 40 something minutes of fulfillment, soul fulfillment and nourishment. 2 hours and 40 something minutes of high quality entertainment. Y'all, this movie, I highly recommend. So, as you know, Beyonce went on tour this past summer, the Renaissance World Tour. Wrapped it up. I went to the show. Fantastic. She performed for 3 hours. And I say the 3 hours because I went to some other concerts and I have been going to concerts for many years, and you're not getting 3 hours from a lot of people of singing, dancing, and singing without a backing track because the mic was on. And whether you are a fan or not, whether you are a part of the Beehive or not, whether you are just a human being who has no care in the world but you appreciate music and talent, that is an incredible feat to be able to sing and dance for 3 hours and put on an entertaining show. Different from all of the other world tours that you have had and produced. But this movie in particular, it did a mix of concert footage. It was a concert film, right? So if you did miss the tour in person, you did get to see and have that experience. And I will say, in theaters watching it, there were elements of the concert that I'm glad I saw in theaters, because when you in an arena, you can see the performance and it's fantastic, but you can't hear the band really cooking. Girl, listen. In the theater, that band was cooking. You can hear it. You can hear the background vocals because they magnified the audio. So overall, sonically, it was a better experience in AMC. Overall, visually and just being in that space, it was better to be in person. But there were a couple things that I want to point out for just general a discussion about the Renaissance movie. One, it had at one point 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I checked today when I'm recording this podcast and it is on 96% critics review on Rotten Tomatoes and 100% audience. Y'all know people be hating. Critics be hating. I purposely checked the reviews to see who was reviewing and what they were saying. And even people who are non-fans were leaving great reviews. And the one person who didn't, one of the critics, it was because she said something to the effect of Beyonce is pretty much just a machine and doesn't stand for anything. Which I don't understand why a concert film had to address that, because I don't know if we're going to the Taylor Swift concert film or the freaking Jonas Brothers concert film or whoever, and wondering why it's not politically charged. I just don't I don't understand why you thought that was going to happen in the concert film, but whatever. But it was a mix of concert footage and documentary style footage of Beyonce preparing for this tour, family moments, and her talking about everything that it took to bring this particular show to life. So one, the crew, the size of the stage, the size of the setup, the amount of logistics and trucks involved, that alone is a feat. One thing she pointed out that I thought was really fascinating. Imagine how you have one show. Let's say you got the show and it's setting up in New York. Right? It's setting up in New York. She mentioned there were two additional stages being deployed and set up in the next two cities in order to have those ready to go for the show because it was such a big set and it took so long to set up. I thought it was just one set where they were taking it from city to city, but no, it's so massive. They actually had three exact replicas and were deploying those in real time. She also highlighted the crew and the women who were involved in that. And it was just a lot of, I love the shout outs in regards to logistics. There was a moment where I won't say she answered our questions, but if you've been on social media over the past year, people at first in the beginning of the tour were complaining that she was not dancing as much as she was dancing in previous years. There was a rumor saying, and I don't know where it came from, that she had foot surgery and that's why. Well, turns out she had knee surgery a month before, I believe, rehearsals or the tour started. It was such a short amount of time that she was in pain and basically performing on a bum knee to the point where she finally had to get it done because she had injured her knee 15 years prior when she was slammed against a metal staircase at one of her tour stops. So Beyonce been performing on a bum knee for 15 years. Now, before I continue on, I'm going to say why this and that moment and some other moments within this documentary really stuck out to me and it really made me emotional. And I cried three times during this movie. So just, I cried. Okay, I was crying. But one, I ain't crying with this, but I want to point this out. At one point when she was talking about her knee injury, it made me flash back. And this overall documentary made me flash back to three legends, Michael, Prince, and Whitney. With her knee surgery, as you all know, Prince died unexpectedly due to, I believe it was an accidental overdose. We came to find out and learn, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is accurate information, allegedly, whatever we're going to say, that Prince was battling pain, body pain due to injuries that he sustained throughout his career. Because, you know, Prince would be doing the splits and all kinds of acrobatics on stage where he accidentally got addicted to pain meds because he was trying to nurse those injuries for so long. So when I hear that Beyonce been working and performing on this knee injury, I immediately thought of Prince because it's so quick and so easy for you to end up in a bad situation or something that could affect your life long term because you just constantly needing to perform and keep up the work, even though you're physically in pain. I was next taken to Michael. At one point, Beyonce was talking about how after each show, she was up late working and sending off emails and text messages to her team. And she said it takes her a long time to come down. And while it wasn't a lot of focus on that, she just kind of said it and left it at that. If you guys remember, one of the reasons why, if I'm not mistaken, Michael Jackson got addicted to propofol is because he was saying how hard it was for him to shut down and turn down after performances, which eventually was the reason why he died. And so for our legends to be dealing with all of these things, it's so easy for it to take a turn for the worse. And then Whitney, because Beyonce also mentioned how if it wasn't for her mama and her family and just being grounded and rooted in that, it could have been easy for her to lose herself out here. Because that is common in entertainment, which reminded me then of Whitney Houston. So, you know, it's to me, it's a testament to entertainment, because I don't think people realize how hard it is to entertain and how hard it is to entertain at a high level, and how hard that is to do it consistently since 1997. I don't think we, the consumers, think about that. And I especially know that people who don't perform don't put it in that perspective. Y'all, listening to Black News, it is hard being a performer. It is you sacrificing, you do something, you got to give something up. Now, it don't be drastic giving up. Sometimes it's just your, it's just social life. Sometimes it's traveling, but you sacrificing something to perform and to pursue a career in entertainment, and to pursue it and make it to that level, there's a lot of sacrifice. So in that way, this just kind of made me appreciate Beyoncé more. Another point that was highlighted is, as a Black woman, don't matter how big you are and who you are, you still have to fight to even be heard, even if you're Beyoncé. There were moments in the film where she was talking to production crew and people who were working on the show, and they were trying to tell her certain things were possible, to the fact where she had to even be like, I just Googled it and I know it's possible. So that was a moment where it was like, dang, I'm dealing with this and she dealing with it too. What gives? Because if I was Beyoncé, I would have cussed their ass out. You're fired. On to the next. But hey, she making the big bucks. And lastly, Blue Ivy Carter, who was featured throughout this concert film, is really special. And I say she's special because she is only 11 years old. And we watched her on social media perform and be a part of this tour from the beginning. But initially, she was only supposed to be on one, the first tour. She stayed on it because one of her friends made, but not only say made a mistake, but show her the negative comments that people were making about her after that first performance. And she decided, oh, I'm just going to keep getting better and try to work hard and improve. And we see her evolution over the entire tour. So to have to deal with that as an 11-year-old is something that most of us probably wouldn't be able to do. One, two, we are watching them empower, and by them I mean her family, her parents, empower Blue Ivy to be able to do anything that she wants to do. Now, yes, she's coming from a family that has legacy and money and access and all of these things, but that don't mean that you're gonna turn into some. Blue Ivy is literally being trained on the entertainment business in real life, whether she wants to be a performer, singer, dancer, songwriter, record music executive, run her own business, be the head, next head of Rockefeller or Rock Nation once Jay-Z steps down, whatever. That girl is literally in meetings with her parents, watching them make decisions and build this world and this machine. Blue Ivy, when we get old and Blue Ivy gets of adult age, she ain't going to be beyond, she going to be one of the ones. There's no way you can get all of this knowledge and grow up with that and not turn it into something. So I'm personally excited to see what happens with her and the rest of the kids. Now, overall, I highly recommend it. It was a good time. I wasn't one of those people dancing in the aisles, but I was dancing in my seat, singing and dancing. If you like are a fan of music, they got the music bumping so loud and so hard in those theaters. It's hard for you to just sit there and not react. So I was concerned seeing people on Instagram all dancing in front of the theater and doing the most and flipping up and down the aisles. But I can see how that happens because it's you in a concert, you're inside of it. So highly recommend, 10 stars. Even if you're not a fan, I recommend watching it just for the lessons and for what you can probably take away from it. Did you all see the Renaissance movie that is in theaters? What did you think about it? Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts. You can find me on social media at Kenelia. Speaking of movies, the fall/winter movie season is upon us. And for the sake of Black news and keeping an eye on all the Black stuff that's coming out, I'm going to quickly touch on some stuff that I'm looking forward to or things that I have already watched, because y'all know I be excited about these movies. And if it's a Black movie, your girl, I'm going to be in there. So first, I saw or watched Rustin on Netflix. Rustin is a movie about the life of Bayard Rustin, who was one of the civil rights leaders, the man who was essentially responsible for the March on Washington, amongst other things. It was a great movie starring Coleman Domingo, who be acting his ass off. Also, Coleman is a style icon. That's a whole nother conversation that we're not going to get into right now because we're talking about the film. But that brother be dressed. You understand me? Anyway, Rustin chronicled and it highlighted that moment in time, Bayard Rustin, and how he started the conversation and spearheaded all of the logistics and the planning and everything around bringing that particular march to life. The people who were involved in it, the players, Martin Luther King Jr., all of those civil rights leaders of the time. And it highlighted his experiences as a gay man in the 1960s, because what history books have tended to do until recently is eliminate or erase those particular stories in connection to the civil rights movement. Because before this past few years, I had no clue that Bayard Rustin was a gay man. There probably was conversation and talks about it because they highlighted in the movie that referencing back in the day. But they sure wasn't talking about that when they were talking about all of the planning and logistics that man had to pull off. So I appreciate the extra knowledge that I received from watching this particular movie. Next up, I'm going to see The Color Purple, honey. I cannot wait to cry. I can't wait to cry. Okay. The Color Purple, this is not a remake. It is a reimagining of the Broadway musical version starring Fantasia Barrino, Danielle Brooks, Taraji P. Henson, Corey Hawkins is in it, her. There's so many people in this movie. It is a musical. So in case you're not feeling that, get your mind right, because we're going to be singing and dancing. Already hearing rave reviews. I have some friends that got some early screeners to it, and they were saying it's fantastic. Apparently, Danielle Brooks and Fantasia coming for them awards. And even we saying that, but we know how award season goes anyway, so I'm not going to get my hopes up. But I am proud or happy to hear that they had fantastic performances. So just know when I'm here, when Fantasia starts singing, I'm here, I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be crying. Can't wait to watch it. That comes out on Christmas. Origin, another movie that I'm looking forward to. Ava DuVernay has directed another film. This particular movie stars Niecy Nash, Anjanou. I think Anjanou's last name is Ellis. Don't get me wrong. I don't have time to look it up. I don't have my computer right in front of me. But it is basically a movie that is storied around Isabella Wilkerson's most recent book, Cast. She was also the author of Warmth of Other Suns. Both fantastic books. If you want to talk about Black history and things around it and just gain some rich knowledge and be educated, her book, her writing and them two books gonna give you what you need. But Origin is going to be coming out, I believe, next week in theaters. So that's something that I'm going to be tuned in to. And something that's not coming out recently, but I just saw some news about it that got me a little excited. The I Am Legend sequel starring Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan. Hey, that's going to probably be 2 years from now, but I'm going to be in theaters. What movies in particular, though, are you guys looking forward to? Y'all know what award season, they just be coming at us. And whenever there's some Black people in the mix, we get excited. So I want y'all at home to get excited as well, just so we can show support and love to our people in this season. Because award season be tough, man. It's grueling. It's a lot of interviews. It's just a lot. So to support, we going to watch these movies and we going to report back with positive comments and feedback. Okay. Hit me up, though. Let me know what you plan on watching this fall and winter. You guys can find me on social media and let me know. Hey, guys. I think Ashanti's pregnant. Y'all, is Ashanti pregnant? I think she's pregnant. And I'm asking because as of the day that I am recording this episode, news, I feel like literally just, and I'm doing air quote, broke, because though her and Nelly did not confirm this out of their mouths, but there was a video of them together at a party and Nelly was rubbing her belly and she was rubbing her belly, and then Us Weekly reported an article, even though Us Weekly be lying. Us Weekly, y'all, allegedly, I think Us Weekly is like the black media takeout, so you can't really listen. Until they reported out of their mouths, I'm gonna be like thinking it's allegedly, but I think there she's pregnant. If so, congratulations to Ashanti and Nelly. This will be Ashanti's first child. I'm sure she is really excited. Nelly had his whole grill showing cheese, and I'm talking about, you could even see the back teeth, how hard that brother was smiling, okay? If you want to see some teeth, go look at Nelly, because the boy ain't stopped smiling. Jawline in pain, okay? So congratulations to those two. This is really exciting. Y'all know people been on Ashanti's neck for years about why she don't have kids and why she's unmarried, which is, I really hate when people be on women back about that. It's just in bad taste. And sometimes people have difficulty getting pregnant. Sometimes people don't want kids. Sometimes the stuff just hasn't worked out that way. So to be questioning people, I hate it. But in this instance, I'm happy for that couple. This also brings back up the question that we talked on Black on Black News a couple weeks ago when I asked, do you believe in spinning the block? Because in this case, spinning the block is resulting in a new bundle of joy. So now that we have this newfound information, where do you stand on spinning the block? Is it a yes or no for you? Personally, I say I do not believe in spinning the block. Mainly because in my own life, I would not spin the block with my pool of resources. Let me say that. Now, if you are someone else, maybe your pool of resources is different. So spinning the block makes sense for you. But what do y'all think? Would y'all, now that we're here, and we see that spinning the block can result in a new untapped level of happiness, which we knew before. We knew the potential. But now that we're here, spin the block, yes or no? Where do you stand? Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts. You can find me at Kanelia on social media. Now for this next segment, which we decided to call Black on the Internet. An article came out today that told us that Miss Shirley Ralph, who the legendary Miss Shirley Ralph, okay, the original dream girl, and her husband are reportedly moving in together. It said that her and her husband are reportedly moving in together officially after almost 20 years of marriage. As you all may or may not have known, Miss Shirley Ralph is an actress based in Los Angeles. Her husband is a part of the Pennsylvania State Senate. He lives and resides in Pennsylvania. They meet up and see each other every 2 weeks. They were together in the same house for the pandemic, but for the last 20 years, they have been maintaining this long distance relationship. They're finally deciding that this will change. And she's going to move to Pennsylvania with him, but just travel to LA to work. So I'm posing this question because some people were like, are you done? Well, if we ain't under the same roof, then it ain't gonna matter. Whatever. Would you be able to maintain a long distance relationship for more than, I would say, 5 years, right? That's a big amount of time We're not even going to take it to 20. I'm going to pose the question, would you be able to do it for 5 years? Now, having been in a lot of long distance relationships, and I won't even say a lot. Well, we could say a lot, because there have been times where I have often found myself getting to know, building those relationships over the phone. I have, you know, been able to have those conversations and get to know somebody and fall into deep like, and in maybe one or two cases, fall in love with somebody without them physically living in the same city as me. So do I think I could do it? I think I could. I know it would be very difficult, because in order to maintain a relationship, there has to be some physical element. You have to at some point be around that person. But if you're busy enough and you got things to do, I really think that you would be able to pull off a long distance relationship. That's just from my perspective and basing it off of my own life. I can't speak for everybody else. I can't speak for y'all, the Black News listeners. But I found that if you ain't got nothing going on, it may be hard, because you ain't got nothing going on. Okay. Yeah. You ain't got nowhere to be. Okay. If you ain't got nowhere to be, and you just at home, go to work, log out, clock out, drive home, and sit at home and wait for them and figure out what they're doing, it's going to be a hard road, baby. Now, in their case, Miss Shirley Ralph, she got a bustling acting career, okay? On set. She got Diva Simply Singing, nonprofit organization. She is on the SAG board, okay? She got meetings to attend, Zoom and in person. She has children. She's helping them out. Her son getting married. She probably helping to plan a wedding. She got a daughter who is a bustling stylist. She has things going on. Her husband is a state senator. That man got Senate meetings. He trying to get laws passed. These people have things to do. So I imagine that can lend to being able to withstand this type of relationship, because neither one of them are probably just sitting around wondering what the other person doing. Not to say if you don't have a lot going on, you can't make it work. But from personal experience, me and just taking my life, for example, when I've been in long distance relationships, I have spent the full day could go like this. Wake up early, go to work. When I was in that gym, wake up early, go to the gym, then go to work. Then I had auditions to worry about throughout the day. So I'm trying to prep for the audition while still trying to balance work, learning my lines, getting ready, driving auditions, going back to work, then finishing the day up, leaving work, then going to do a podcast. Back in the day, I was doing AfterBuzz, or I was super deep in open mics and stand up, trying to get my footing and make a name for myself. So then I would leave work and either go to open mic. Maybe I had a show. Maybe if I didn't go to the gym in the morning, I would go to the gym after work. I would hang out at a comedy club. I would have something entertainment based to do. Then I would finally get home. By the time I got home, it's 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Talk to the person that I am dating throughout the day in those pockets where I have free time. When I'm home, if I have some dinner already, maybe I have a snack, wind down, take a shower, brush my teeth, do my skincare routine, go to bed. Nowhere in that did I have time to just sit around and be worrying about what somebody else doing. Now, that's just me though. So I think I would be able to do it. I wouldn't want to, but I would be able to. What do y'all think? Do y'all think y'all would be able to withstand a 5-year long distance relationship? We ain't even gonna do the 20. 5 years. Yes or no? Could you do it, and why? Hit me up and let me know your thoughts. You can find me at Kenelia on social media. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about our experience, and by our, I mean my experience, watching the Renaissance concert movie that is officially in theaters this week. Beyonce did a fantastic job, and I highly recommend you guys go see it. Next, gave a quick overview of some of the Black movies that will be in theaters this winter and fall and which ones we're planning to see. Also, I think Ashanti might be pregnant, allegedly. So we discussed that. And the question again about would you or would you not spin the block? And lastly, long distance relationships. Is that something that you guys would or would not be able to do for an extended period of time? Let me know your thoughts. Hit me up and give me your opinions about all of these topics, some or none. And I'll check back with you guys next week. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is Kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.